With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together and read from the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter number 5.
Pađene da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Staroga Zaveta iz druge knjige Mojsijeve, peta glava. Druga knjiga Mojsijeva, peta glava.
And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. For they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill ye your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today as heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, 'Make brick.' And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." But he said, "Ye are idle. Ye are idle. Therefore ye say, 'Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord.' Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, "Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task." And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." I'd like to conclude with the end of the chapter. May the Lord bless his word, and may we bow before the Lord in prayer. Scripture that we have read this morning speaks of the time, the first time, when Moses and Aaron approached Pharaoh. After this, the 10 plagues would be coming upon Egypt, and the Lord truly would deliver his people from their bondage in Egypt. But this is the first discussion that takes place. And just before this, Moses brought the message that God had instructed him to proclaim to the people. And it says, "And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped." The message that Moses and Aaron were coming to proclaim was one of deliverance, one of rest and peace, deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. And it was very welcome to the ears of the Israelites. But we see that it was not a welcome message to Pharaoh. He resists the instruction of God and says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And so we see God's plan for deliverance is beginning, and there is resistance. God's message of hope and freedom is being proclaimed, and Pharaoh is one who brings some pressure to the Israelites so that they would forget what they have heard, that they would despair to believe what God has declared would take place. And this chapter that describes this conflict and this tension between the plan of God and the pressure of this world to make us neglect, to make us to forget, and to cause us not to participate in the deliverance that he has spoken of is very real. And maybe you or I have experienced in this very week the pressures of the Pharaoh of our day. Jesus described them in the parable of the four grounds. There was a ground where the word was sown, and that described the heart of man that does not understand. And the birds came and swallowed it up. The next was a stony ground that the word could not put down roots. And when affliction and persecution came, when that pressure began being applied to the heart went away from faith, went away from the hope and the word that God had declared for its deliverance. And then there was the ground that was the thorns, a heart that is full of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches that choke out the word. Just like Pharaoh, who desired to put pressure and say, "You need to work harder. You need to spend more time and effort and attention to your worldly and physical pleasures to satisfy the king of this earth." Does that sound familiar? That Satan would tempt us with busyness so that we would not have time to apply our hearts to the faith in Jesus Christ and to understand and participate in the rest that he offers. Meanwhile, we are exhausted and burdened and heavy laden. And Satan has done an excellent job in deceiving many that the efforts will eventually pay off. The efforts for progress and comforts and to get the Pharaoh off our back. You know what it is for you. And the temptations that Satan brings. Just a little bit more effort, just a little bit more time, just a little bit more neglect. And then it will be better. Just a little bit better. You'll have some peace. And you will be able to enjoy. But Pharaoh, he does not have the best interest of the people in mind. He does not have anything good for them. He commands that their tasks be made harder. Just as they are interested in believing the word and the message of deliverance, he says, make the tasks harder. Make it seem like they have to give their attention to this or to that message, attraction, effort. Let more work be laid upon them that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words, Pharaoh says. To Pharaoh, the words of God were vain. They were weak. They were ineffective. He did not believe in God, nor what he could do. And the taskmasters willingly obeyed the voice of Pharaoh, the Egyptian taskmasters that were over the people. They beat the officers of the children of Israel and demanded them that they would continue to make bricks, that they would continue their work, but without the straw, but they were not allowed to slack off in any way. They had to continue producing the same number of bricks day by day. This is what was expected of them, to continue in the grind and continue in the efforts to build up a kingdom of this world. Instead of being separated unto God, to go out into the wilderness to worship, and eventually to go into that promised land of rest, where they would be called to be a light to all nations. The challenge was not only from Pharaoh, but it was also within, was it not? We see the children of Israel and the officers of the children of Israel, they came to Pharaoh. They thought, let's talk to Pharaoh. Let's see if we can work out something and negotiate where I can get what I want and he can get what he wants, and it'll be nice and easy. And we don't have to, leave him. But they were refused. And they came and saw Moses. And they were angry at Moses. They complained, just like they would for the many years that they wandered in the wilderness. They complained to Moses about what God was doing and about his methods and about his ways. This shows that the pressure was not just from Pharaoh, but was from within. It was their own heart. Now, it says that they believed and they rejoiced at the news. But when opposition came, how quickly they were to backtrack and to backslide. And they said to Moses, "Ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh." Now, isn't that amazing? A slave of Pharaoh is telling Moses, "Pharaoh doesn't like us that much anymore. We can't be friends with him anymore like we used to be," right? And their complaints in the wilderness were always, "Wasn't it so good when we were in Egypt? When we had the cucumbers and the leeks and the onions and all the things that their flesh enjoyed." Is that really what Pharaoh was like? Did he love them before and now he was being cruel to them? No. He was cruel all the time. But how easy it is for man's heart to look for a scapegoat, to look for someone else to blame. Moses, it's your fault. And now, Moses turns to the Lord, and he asks him honestly to understand, why is this happening? Why the pressure and the tension exists when you've promised deliverance, when you've promised freedom? It doesn't seem to be going in the right direction. And why hast thou sent me? So far, it doesn't seem like God had delivered them at all to Moses. And the chapter ends sort of with this cliffhanger, where the question is given, and then we need to read the rest of the story to understand God's purposes and God's plans. And even as was mentioned in the prayer, how little we see. When we look at our lives and we see the pressures that seek to keep us from enjoying and participating in the rest and the peace and the deliverance that God is offering to us, how we question and wonder why. And we do not see God's purpose or plan. But we have the testimonies of how God has worked in the past. And we should take them to heart, that God's word is true, that he will fulfill his promises, despite what we feel at the moment and the pressures that we go through. And we need to turn our hearts away from the messages and those who would distract us from drawing near to God and finding our soul's release in Jesus Christ. For just as Moses had brought a message of deliverance that would surely come to the children of Israel, Jesus Christ has brought us the gospel of the kingdom, and he has declared a promise, and he is a prophet that is a true prophet, and his words will come to pass. And his words are words of invitation to each of us, not for the deliverance of our flesh, so that we would have an easy life, or that our time of worship would be comfortable. But he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Words that are true, words that cut to the heart and yet are distracted so easily from by the pleasures of this world, by the persecution, by the busyness that keeps us from dedicating ourselves to understand the word of God, that we would be blessed by it. Do we realize the conflict that we are in? And that the time is short to take heed unto these words, to come unto Jesus. Everyone who is laboring and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. What are the burdens? What is the labor and the heavy laden burden that Jesus delivers from? John told his disciples and declared when he saw Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Many who were listening to Jesus at this time were under the oppression of the Jewish teachers and the heavy ladens and burdens that they put on their backs. But one and all, without Jesus Christ, are under a wicked taskmaster, are under the wicked king of this earth, and its priorities, and its kingdom, to labor and be heavy laden with sin, with the shame that comes of seeking to avoid the consequences that are justly ours. And Jesus has come, and John testified, and the word declares to us plainly that Jesus Christ is the one who can take that burden. He is the one who can lift it off of our shoulders. He has come and shed his precious blood that we can be redeemed, that we can be free. And oh, how our hearts need to understand and to dwell upon the truth of the salvation, the true salvation in Jesus Christ. There is nowhere else that we can turn to lay down this burden of sin. There is no one else that will give us true rest, though there are many imitations, though there are many distractions. Jesus simply speaks to you and me today and says, "Come unto me." You need to know his word and what he has taught to know who you are coming to. To come to the Jesus that is revealed in the Bible through his teachings, through his life, and through his sacrifice upon the cross and resurrection from the dead. This is the Jesus that we are to come to, not a Jesus of our imagination or our wishes, but just as he is in the simplicity of his teaching, because there's nowhere else we can go. Some will say, "My burdens are not too bad." And that is a message of this world. Your sin is not too bad. And that you can distract your conscience a little bit now and get some relief. But this will never do. The freedom in Christ that he offers is full, and it is free. It is something that he gives to us when we come to him. And we read here of a yoke and a burden, and we might think, "I don't need another yoke, and I don't want another burden." But that is unbelief speaking. And as it is with so many scriptures, our understanding and our willingness to accept the simple word of Jesus Christ hinges upon our hearts and our faith. Do you believe that he is able to provide? He says before, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Do you believe? Do you believe that he is able? Do you believe that being yoked with Jesus Christ, you will find deliverance that you seek? Can you believe that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? It's hard to understand that. And yet, when we look at all of the things that Jesus has taught us about eternal life and about this life and about following on him, we'll quickly realize that there is no salvation outside of being united and yoked with Jesus Christ. And what he offers unto us through invitation is exactly what we need. You remember that Jesus has said that the way is narrow and it leads to life. And there is another way that is wide and it leads to destruction. Do you believe? Is that really how it is? If you believe, you will find that you cannot walk upon a narrow way that Jesus Christ has taught on your own. And if that is the only way, and that is true what Jesus has said, then his invitation to be yoked with him is deliverance. And it is the way that you can find that path. And he is that path and that gate that he speaks of. He speaks to us of that the discipleship requires daily denying ourselves and carrying our cross and following him. And we read that Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother or all the things of this world more than me, he's not worthy of me, and he cannot be my disciple. Do you believe that? Is that true? Or do you believe in a Jesus that says you can have this world and you can have the kingdom of God? We believe Jesus. And when that faith illuminates our heart and the reality of our condition and our need, we find that his yoke is exactly what we need. Now, what's a yoke? For animals and farming, a yoke is something that two animals or more can be joined together, that they can pull together. And these animals, they tend to walk side to side. But when they're in a yoke that is much easier, they would go straight and as they need to. And that's the sense in which this yoke is easy. It makes it possible for us to find what Jesus was talking about, that way that leads to life. It is not easy in the sense of it's not difficult, because it's impossible for us. But when we are yoked in unity with Jesus Christ, then we find that his grace is sufficient for us. We glory in our infirmities because we find that when we do, the power of Christ rests upon us. And that is the yoke. The Holy Spirit and his help for us to find that way that we could never find on our own. And we could abide in him because we love him. How can you come unto the Lord? What does that mean? I was reading a song on the Zion's harp that speaks of this, and hopefully can be an encouragement to those of you who ponder the path of your feet and desire to come. How can you come? Zion's Harp's song number 163 has some words that are beautiful and explain it quite well. My God, this heart I bring to thee, as gift for thee designed. Thou dost demand my heart of me, this I keep well in mind. Thou sayest, my child, give me thine heart. Oh, wondrous word, so clear. The way to rest it doth impart to peace, both here and there. Then, O my Savior, do receive my heart as gift from me. To me discipleship now give, and I will follow thee. When we embrace the word of Jesus Christ in faith, we see what he is asking. And we know and believe and are convinced that it is the only way, and it is the best way for our lives to be patterned in Jesus Christ's footsteps. And if that is the case, then we will freely give our all, and we will bring our heart in its completeness, without holding anything back, with reservation, but trusting and believing as he has asked us to do. And yes, this is humiliating for the flesh. And there is a price, but oh, the gift. Oh, the treasure that we receive in Jesus Christ when we come to him in the way that he has prescribed and receive from him the rest for our souls. May we continue. May we learn of him, the one who is meek and lowly in heart, that we would find it joyful to pattern our lives after him. And though this looks so strange to the world, it looks so odd and out of place, in a world that just goes after anything and everything new that comes out, there are those who find it difficult to believe the simple message of the gospel. And we as believers have an opportunity to bear witness to the truth and to the effectiveness of Jesus Christ and his gospel. This is a contradiction, it would seem, to find a yoke and a burden in Jesus Christ and find it easy and light. It's also a contradiction what Apostle Paul has said of his own following after Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As we have taken the time to dwell upon the rest that Jesus Christ is offering, may our prayer be that we would be intentional about demonstrating the blessing of a life that is lost in him, a life that is laid down for his sake, so that those who doubt and those who are on the fence would be able to read our life, would be able to see the hope, would be able to find their rest because we point to Jesus Christ and him crucified. May God bless his word.